Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin, Daf Pei. We will begin Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Tesmon Beis. Says the Mishnah Kosov, if the get was written with a date, L'shum Malchashen Agenis, the get, as Rashi explained, was written in Bavel, but the date that was written, the get, as we're going to see, the date that they wrote in those Gittin, was the date according to the monarchy where they lived. And if the get was written, the Shemach Shen Agenis, which the Gemara is going to explain, is the Roman Empire, and they were in Bavel, the Shemach Esmodai, or the Shemach Esmodai, the Shemach Esyavam, or the get was written according to the Greek, or it was written Labinyan Abayis, or it was written for the Binyan Abayis, or the Churban Abayis, in all these cases, the get is not a valid get. Now the Rambam points out that the Mishnah mentions certain disqualifications in dates. Says the Ramban that only these types of disqualifications would disqualify the get. But points out the Ramban, if there were other disqualifications in the date, the best example the Ramban could give is if the date is according to when the world was created, which is the date that we typically use. Says the Ramban, even though that's not the date that ought to be used, as we're learning, the date that ought to be used is according to the amount of years in the country that we're in, still, says the Ramban, the get would be a good get. That's the opinion of the Ramban. Moreover, both the Meiri and the Rambam are of the opinion that if the get has a wrong date, but nowadays, where documents are not typically dated according to the amount of years that the country that we're in, says the Ramban, that also says the Rambam the Meiri, since that's the way all documents are dated, Bismanazah, the date, the get would be a good get. Here we have, throughout the Mishnah, but here we begin with a very fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, if this get is possum of the Raisa or possum of the Rabbonin. The opinion of Rashi is that this get is possum of the Raisa. The opinion of Tosfos is that this get is possum midrabbanan. Continues the Mishnah, if the get was written with the wrong location, says the Mishnah, Hayayimid b'Mizrach, the cipher was in Mizrach, in Kosovo Marav, and he wrote that the get was written on the west side, or vice versa, says the Mishnah, that the get was written b'Marav, and it says in the get b'Mizrach, the get is possum. And here we have a machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean, location? Tosfos' opinion is that the definition of location means where the cipher is when he's writing the get. Other Rishonim say location means where the Edom are when they're signing the get. And the Achronim debate, why is the location so important? The Sefer Tosfos Gittin explains that the reason location is so important in our Mishnah is because if we just learned, says the Tosfos Gittin, that the date of the get is so important, sometimes you can have a monarchy that becomes ruling, that begins to rule in one location at a certain time and in another location at a later time. And the date we're learning is so critical. But the date is very connected to the place, because not everywhere did the monarchy begin ruling at the same time. That's why this is an extension of the previous halacha, that since the date is important, the location is connected to the date. The Noida Behuda has a different explanation. Noida Behuda says that we know that the Torah HaKadosha speaks, when it speaks about Edom, it speaks about Edom Zomerman, that if Edom say testimony, and other people come in and say, how could you possibly be saying this testimony? Imanu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere. The halacha is those Edom become Edom Zomerman. And an Edus, the only time an Edus, we're going to learn in Masechta Makkos, explains the Noida Behuda, is a valid Edus, is an Edus Shatayochel Azima, an Edus which is subject to Hazoma. Therefore, says the Noida Behuda, if we won't have the proper place where the get was written in the get, it would be an Eidah Shi'ata Yochel Azima. And an Eidah Shi'ata Yochel Azima is not a valid Eidah. Here too, we have the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, if this is a disqualification with the Raisa, as Rashi says, or as Tosfos says, it's a disqualification with the Rabbonim. And says the Mishnah, if a woman got married with such a get, the halacha is teitzi mizeh mizeh, she can't remarry, can't remain with the second husband, and no, may she not go back to the first husband, but tzricha get mizeh mizeh, and she needs a get from both husbands. So Rashi himself asks on his opinion, why is the halacha, we understand why she has to get another get from the first husband, because the get that he gave her wasn't a valid get. But why must she receive, as Rashi, a get from the second husband? She was never married to him because she never had a proper get from her first husband. So Rashi explains, the reason she needs to get a get from the second husband, because Chazal were concerned that people will certainly believe that she certainly never would have married the second husband had she not had a proper get from the first husband. And now they're going to see that she leaves the second husband without a get. They're going to believe that a woman can leave her husband without a get. And in order to avoid such a situation, that's why Chazal said she has to have a get from both husbands. The Chazal were very anxious to make sure that she doesn't stay with either of these husbands. So that's why Chazal said, "Ain like suba." We know that Chazal instituted that when a woman gets divorced, she's entitled to a ksuba. Here says the Mishnah, she doesn't get her ksuba. The reason is, that explains the Ramah, the entire purpose of getting a ksuba is that it's to serve as a deterrent from them getting divorced. Here we want them to get divorced. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos says, why are we being so tough on this woman? So says the Gemara, because a woman or a person should not rely on a get without having it checked out that it was done properly. And since it wasn't checked out properly, so therefore, and therefore, if it would have been checked out, they would have known that this get is possible. They didn't go through doing so. That's why she deserves to be punished. Tosfos in Masechta Yevamos asks, we have a very big machlokes if the chiyuv ksuba is a chiyuv d'oraisa or chiyuv d'rabbanan. So if we say it's a chiv d'rabbanan, our Mishnah is very understandable. In this case, Chazal did not put in a chiv d'rabbanan for a ksuba. But according to the opinion that the ksuba is a d'raisa, how could have Chazal taken away that chiv d'raisa? So they answer that a concept that we've learned, that we're going to learn, there's a concept that called the Mekadosh Adat, the Rabbanan Mekadosh. Whoever is Mekadosh is based on the Rabbanan's authority, and therefore, Afkin Rabbanan L'Kedusha Minei, Chazal under these circumstances will entirely annul the marriage, and therefore she doesn't deserve a ksuba. Avloi Peiris. The halacha is that if a woman is kidnapped, her husband has to ransom her. Because the nechosim, we know that a wife could bring into a marriage different types of assets, nechsei melug and nechsei tzein bazel, and the halacha is that the husband is entitled to those peiros. The reason he's entitled to those peiros is because he now is obligated that if she's kidnapped, he will have to ransom her. So because of that, Chazal said that this woman doesn't get peiros. And moreover, I saw that the Rishonim explained that it's that the peiros are connected to the ksuba. And since the peiros are connected to the ksuba, if she's not getting ksuba, she doesn't get peiros. The other Rishonim explain, what the Mishnah means to say is that if the husband during the time of the marriage ate peiros, and now we're punishing her, he doesn't have to give back those peiros. But points out the Rashba, the only peiros he doesn't have to give back is the peiros that he ate before they became aware that the get was disqualified. Once they became aware that the get was disqualified, he has to pay back those payers. V'loy mezoinus, the husband doesn't have to support her. And of course the Rashba says this is obvious. If the halacha is that he has to divorce her, so he certainly doesn't have to support her. V'loy belos, if the husband, she brought in different clothing into the marriage, And during the time of the marriage, those clothing got rubbed out. The halach is the husband does not have to give back the depreciation of those clothing. But most Rishonim say in terms of the actual clothing, that he will have to be give back when the marriage is terminated. Loy alzeh v'loy alzeh. This is halakas that we just said apply both to the first husband and the second husband. Vimnotla, and if she did take clothing, if she did take anything that she's not entitled to, the halakha is tachzer, she has to return what she's not entitled to. Of course, the Rishonim point out there may be things that she took that she was entitled to that she wouldn't. That she wouldn't have to give back. Vavlad, says the Mishnah further, Vavlad, mamzer mizeh umizeh. Any children that are born are mamzerim. And Rashi, according to his opinion, points out that children that are born from the first husband are mamzerim midrabbanan, because she's really still married to the first husband. So according to Rashi, the get wasn't a good get midraisa. Since the get wasn't a good get midraisa, she's still married to him. And therefore, any children she had from him are only mamzerim midrabbanan. Children that she had from the second husband would be mamzerim deraisa, because she's still an eishes ish of the first husband. And since she's still an eishes ish of the first husband, any children from the second husband are mamzerim deraisa. According to Tosfos, it's just the opposite. Because according to Tosfos, the get with the rice is a good get. And therefore, her marriage to the second husband, the rice, is a good marriage. So the children from the second marriage are the mamzerim, and the children from the first marriage are mamzerim de rabbanon, and the children from the first husband, if she had them after the afterwards, would be mamzerim midaraisa. Both of the husbands are not matam to him. So the way Rashi explains that if the husbands are kohanim, and the halacha is that a kohen is supposed to become tamei, even though normally kohen does not become tamei, when his wife dies, he does become tamei. The halacha is that these husbands don't become tamei because she shouldn't be married to them. So many achronim ask on this pshat, how could the second husband possibly be a kohen? In her mind, the second husband, in their mind, the get was a good get. If the get was a good get, then she's a grusha. And a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. And therefore, many Rishonim have a different explanation of the Mishnah. Their explanation of this Mishnah is not necessarily that both husbands are kohanim. But the halacha is that a husband is obligated to become tamei when his wife passes away. And here, because she's not supposed to be married to them, therefore they don't become tamei, even though normally a husband is supposed to become tamei. Neither of these husbands are entitled to mitziyasa. The halacha is that if a wife finds a mitziyah, that the husband keeps that mitziyah. And the reason Chazal instituted that in Masechta Ksubis is because it causes a bad situation in the marriage if she'll keep it. But here we don't have that problem. We want them to be in that situation. So therefore, the same reason what a wife earns, her husband keeps, that is what keeps harmony in the marriage. Here we're not anxious to keep that harmony. As we learned the Masechta and the Dorim, under certain situations, a husband could annul a wife's nether. And the reason, as we learned the Masechta and the Dorim, is Kadesh Loitizgana al Baala, because we don't want that if she made a nether that the husband doesn't like, it'll create again a bad situation in the marriage. Here we don't care about that. The Rashba has a different explanation. The Rashba's explanation is that kol ha-nederes, the reason a husband can be made for the nedarim of a wife, because the halacha teaches us that kol ha-nederes, whoever makes a neder, adas ba'alei nederes. She makes it understanding that her husband has to consent. Obviously, that isn't the case here where they're not supposed to be married. Hoy sebas Yisrael, if this happened with a woman who's a Bas Yisrael, Nifsala Menakuna, she now can never marry a kohen, because the halacha is that an eishes ish that was mezana becomes a zoyna, and since she becomes a zoyna, she can never marry kohen. There are many that discuss that she, even if she's not a zoyna, she's a grusha, and a grusha is also to marry a kohen. So therefore, they discuss, well, if the first get is not a good get, so then she maybe is not considered a grusha as far as the derais is concerned with the second husband. Bas Levi, if this woman is a Bas Levi, min a meiser, Chazal made a knas, the simplest way of the learning this Gemara, is that even though a woman is, everybody's, she's, people are, a Bas Levi's entitled to eat meiser, she loses that right. So many Rishonim ask a question on this. The halach is anybody can eat meiser. Only a Levi gets meiser, but everybody can eat meiser. So to explain that what the Mishnah means to say is that a Bas Levi is entitled under certain circumstances to collect meiser. This woman, who even though she's a Bas Levi, loses that right. Bas Koyin, if she's a Bas Koyin, the halach is that she's never allowed to eat truma again, because the halach is that if a woman is a Bas Koyin and she has no children and she's no longer married, the halach is that she's allowed to go back to her father's home and eat truma. This won't be the case here. And of course, many Rishonim asked the question, we learned in Masechta Yevamos that once a woman, a married woman, has an improper relation, she becomes also labal to her husband, laboyal to the second man, and to truma. So what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? So the Rishonim point out that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that not only may she not have truma deraisa, but we don't even let her have truma derabanan. Vein yorshim shalzeh v'yorshim shalzeh yorshim ksubasa. The halach is that she doesn't get a ksuba. So here too, many Rishonim ask the obvious question. We've been learning that she doesn't get a ksuba. So what's the discussion of that they don't, that her yorshim aren't entitled to a ksuba? So the Rishonim explain, we learned in Masechta Ksubas, there's a concept of a ksubas b'nin dichrin. And a ksubas b'nin dichrin means that sometimes a woman gets married and a father gives her a large nadin, a large dowry. But that brings great concern to her father, because her father becomes concerned that if she will predecease her husband, and we're learning that a husband yashins his wife, since a husband yashins his wife, the concern is that if a husband yashins his wife, the concern is that the husband will give all of the assets that the first wife brought into the marriage to his children, even from a different wife. And therefore, Chazal said that whatever it brought in, they could write a ksubas b'nin dichrin, that the children, his grandchildren, the children of the wife of the father who gave this big dowry, will get that ksuba. That special rule of ksubas b'nin dichrin teaches us our Mishnah doesn't apply to this woman. Either the first or the second, or both of those husbands pass away without children, which we learn often the halacha is they have to get, she has to have yibum. Since she's not really properly married to either of these men, chaltzen, they do chalitza, but they don't do yibum. The Mishnah continues, Shina, if the cipher, when he wrote the get, changed Shemoy, did not properly write the name of the husband, or Shema, or did not properly write the name of the husband, of the wife. And the reason why these names are so important are different opinions in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the Torah, when it speaks about a get, requires it to be a safer krisis. A safer krisis means that it's written properly to terminate the marriage. If it doesn't have the name spelled properly, written properly, that is a disqualification in the krisis. Others say, because we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, that a get has to be written l'shma, And if the names aren't written properly, it's that is a continuation and lacking of Lishma. If shame era, v'shem era. So most Rishonim are of the opinion that they didn't write the proper names of the cities. We have to write the name of the city where the husband lives, and we have to write the name of the city where the wife lives. And the Mishnah is teaching us that if they weren't written properly, the get will be posel. And therefore, if the get will be posel, the halacha is, as we learned earlier, the halacha is that teitzi mezeh mezeh. There are Rishonim that are of the opinion that if these elements, especially the name of the city, is missing from the get may be a kosher get. But they point out that it's worse to write the wrong city than no city. So if no city was written, the get will be fine. But if the wrong city is written, then the halacha is that the get's not a good get. The kol ha'drachim elu ba, and all of the halachas that we learned earlier in the Mishnah, when such a situation comes up, would be applicable. Tarak Dosha says that if a husband dies without children, the wife may not marry anyone else. The Torah HaKadosh says, "Leisia eishes hameis chachutza lezor." The halacha is that if, however, the woman who falls to Yibam is an erva to the Yavam, so the first Mishnah in Masechta the Yavamas teaches us that this woman is not a candidate for Yibam of Chalitza. And not only is she not a candidate for Yibam of Chalitza, but as we learned in the Mishnah there, the halacha is there's a tsaris erva. And not only does she become, that she's not a candidate for Yibam Chalitza, but her co-wife is not a candidate for Yibam Chalitza either. So says the Mishnah, Kol Arayis, if a man was married to a woman who is an erva to the Yavam, Kol Arayis, Amrutz, or Issei Mataris, as we learned in the first Mishnah, as we just said in Masechta Yavamas, that not only are they excluded from Yibam Chalitza, but that tsaris are also, and Hocha Tsaris Eilu V'Nisu. So knowing this halacha, the tsaris went and married a husband without doing Yibam Chalitza. And now, Nimtzu Eila Eilness. It turns out that the wife, who is the erva, is an Eilness. An Eilness, we know, is a woman who cannot have children. So that means the marriage was never a marriage. If the marriage was never a marriage, then she wasn't a tsar, so the erva wasn't married to the first husband. And the other wife is not a tsaris erva. And therefore, in such a case, Teitze, if the other wife of the tsara got married to another husband, the halacha is Teitze Mizeh Mizeh, the halacha is that she doesn't remain with either husband, the kol ha'drachim elu ba, and all of the halacha that we speak in the Mishnah don't apply. So of course the Rishonim ask that the Isser that we just mentioned, of Lysil Ishis Ishlish Chutzalizar is a lav. And it's not like the ratio which was an Issa Karis, an Ishis Ish. So why is the halacha the same? So the easiest way of learning the Mishnah is that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that treats a Chayvi Lavin like a Chayvi Krisis. And therefore, since according to Rabbi Kiva, Chayvi Lavin and Chayvi Krisis are identical in halacha, they make a mamzer identically. That's why the halachas are the same. And that's what the Yerushalmi says in explanation of our Mishnah. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that our Mishnah is even following the opinion of Chachamim, and still the Chachamim will hold that even though it's only an Issa Lav, and it wouldn't be a mamzer deraisa, the halachas would apply. Says the Mishnah. A different situation. Hakoinus es yavimta. So somebody's died without children, and he had more than one wife, and the brother married that wife, and then the tzara, as we know, the yibum is only done to one of the wives. And now the hocha tzaras of anisus lacher. And the tzara says, well, if my co-wife had yibum, I can marry anyone. And then it turns out that the wife on whom yibum was performed is an islandess. So she was never really married to the first husband. And therefore, the only wife of the first husband that is halachically recognized is the second wife, the tzara. But this Sora went and married someone else. So here too, says the Mishnah, the halacha is, Taitse Mizah Mizah, she can't remain with the second husband, nor could she go to the Yibam and to the Yavam, because she already married someone else. The Kal Drachim Eluba, says the Mishnah. So what typically happens, what a get is written, is that the get is written for the husband, who, as we learned in our previous shurim, gives it to the wife. And at that point, he also gives his wife, pays out the ksuba, and she writes a shoiva. She gives him a receipt that she got paid. And that's what happened here. Kasa Seifer Getlish, a Seifer wrote the get on behalf of the husband, and he wrote a shoiva lish, and he wrote the receipt on behalf of the wife. And now there was a mistake. And what happened was, Tava Nosen Getlish, the Seifer gave the wrong document, and he gave the get to the wife, and he gave the shoiver to the husband. And they exchanged these documents. And then they discover, the wife had the get, she gave it to her husband. She never received the get from her husband. And as we learned, a get is only valid if you receive it from your husband. And furthermore, the shoiver is by the wife, which was supposed to be by the husband. So that means they never properly got divorced. So the law is teitzim mizeh mizeh. She can't remain with the second husband. She never got properly divorced, and therefore, and v'kal drachem elibo, that all the halacha were done. So the Rishonim try to understand, how did this happen? So the Rashba says that what happened was the Seifer wrote both documents, gave both documents to both parties to review, and then the Seifer took it back and then got mixed up. Rabbi Lezer disagrees, and he says, if this happened immediately after the documents were exchanged, Yotza, that happened, Ainz again, it's not a valid get. However, Im La'achaz Man Yotza, if this was discovered only later on, Harez a get, then we don't accept that it was done wrong. The husband can't come up with this type of excuse to hurt the second husband and make him leave. And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, because we're concerned that the first husband and the wife made some sort of a kanunya, made some sort of a conspiracy to make this happen. And even though the halacha is that she couldn't go back to the first husband, she doesn't want to remain with the second husband, and in order to be able to get out of the second husband, they made up this type of conspiracy. So the Mishnah said, if he wrote the get to a date of a Malchus Eino Hagenes. So ask the Gemara, my Malchus Eino Hagenes, what is the definition of a Malchus Eino Hagenes? Says the Gemara, it's the Malchus Roman, the Roman. Says the Gemara, my Karli Malchus Eino Hagenes. Why are they called the Malchus Eino Hagenes? Says, they don't have their own language. And a country that doesn't have its own language, as Rashi says, is Chazal call them Bozi Atama'oid. So it's considered very low, very not something not very special. And as Rashi explains, they do have a language, but the language is a language that they really incorporated from other countries. They don't have their own language. Others explain that, the Aruch explains, that typically in those times, countries had two languages, one for the upper class and one for the lower class. And Rome did not have their own, did not have these two languages. Says the Gemara, Amma Ulamai, Ma Tiknu Malchus Begitten. Why did Chazal say that the halacha, as we learned in the Mishnah, is that the date of the get should be according to the date of the monarchy? Says the Gemara, it was put in place, Mishum Shloim Malchus, to show the Umas Olam how much in esteem we keep them. So by using their dates, that's what shows how much we keep them in esteem, and that's why it was instituted. So says the Gemara, it's a very nice thing that we want to show them this respect. But ask the Gemara, Meshum Shloim Malchus, we learned in the Mishnah that if it wasn't done that way, to get disqualified. Says the Gemara, we're going to be so strict the Mishum Shloi Malchus Teitzev Avlad Mamzer, we're going to punish her that the children of Mamzerim in. Says the Gemara, yes, we take such a strict approach because Ramele Tamei Damer of Amnuna Mishmei Deula Omer Hayomei Kol Mishanim and Beis Shetovah Chachamim. If anybody deviates from what Chazal taught us by Hilchus Gittin and Kedushin, the halacha is Havlad Mamzer. We take a very strong approach to this. We learned in the Mishnah, if they wrote for Malchus Yavam, it's disqualified. Ask the Gemara, once we mention that if you use the Roman date in Bavel, it's not good because it's disrespectful. Why do we also have to mention Malchus Yavam? Vitzricha. If we would only mention Rome, Mishum the Malicha, Rome was still in place at the time of the Mishnah, and therefore the Mishnah is saying it's disrespectful in Bavel to use the Roman date. Ava Malchus Modai Malchus Yavon, when we speak about Malchus Yavon and Modai, which are no longer in place, so maybe they're not going to be so concerned. They're going to say, might have a Hava. Their ancient history anyway teaches us the Mishnah. It's still considered disrespectful. On the other hand, says the Mishnah, V'yashmina Malchus Madai Malchus Yavin, if the Mishnah had only mentioned Malchus Madai and Yavin, Mishun the Malchus Ahava, they're still recognized. Avala Binyan Abayis. But when we speak about Binyan Abayis, maybe that won't upset the Bavel people. The Maid Avahava, the Beis Hamikdash no longer stands. V'yashmina Binyan Abayis, if Binyan Abayis was mentioned, Damri Kama Hadri B'Shvichayu, the Jews still are thinking about their glory. And that, of course, is something which is disturbing to the Bavloim. Avul Churban Abayis. If we write the date of Churban Abayis, that may actually satisfy him. The Tzaruhu, it only reminds us of the pain of the Churban Abayis. Emeloi, maybe that doesn't bother them. Tzricha. It still has to be mentioned that it disqualifies. So the Rashba explains indeed why. Because it shows that when we mention the Beis HaMikdash, it shows that we are only concerned about our Beis HaMikdash. And their monarchy is of an insignificance to us. And since that is our attitude, that bothers them. So we learned in the Mishnah Hay B'Mizrach, if the get was written on the east side, the Kosev, and it says there was written on the west side, or vice versa, it's possible. Man, says the Gemara, who exactly are we speaking about? Ilema Bao, if we're speaking that the location of the husband of the wife was misrepresented, ask the Gemara, that's spoken about later in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, Haina Shina Shmai Vishma, if the names of the couple were misrepresented, or Shem Ira Vishem Ira, the names of the cities of the people who wrote the get, who are getting divorced, were misrepresented. El Alav, who are we referring to? Says the Mishnah. We're referring to the cipher. And the way, as we explained in the Mishnah, the halacha Taisha says is that not only must you write the place where the husband and wife live, but you also have to write the place where the get was written. And the nicest pshat that I saw is why? Because we go back to the beginning of our Masechta. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that if a get is brought from Medina Sayyam, you have to say, Befani Nechtav. So the place where the get was written becomes of crucial importance to know if we're going to have to say Befani Nechtav. Karamalei Rav Safri. And says the Gemara, Rav told the Soifrim who wrote Gittin. The Kain Amalei Rav Hunala Safri. Ki Yasifsu Bashili. When you are in Shili, Ksuvi Bashili. Write that the get was written Bashili. Vafgav. The Kamimsu L'chamili B'hini, even though you got instructions in Hini to write the get, you should write the place where the get was actually written. And similarly, Ki Yisivi B'hini, if you're writing a get in Hini, Suva B'hini, write that the get was written in Hini, Afgav the Kamimsu L'chamili B'shili, even though you got instructions to write the get in Shili. And as the Rama explains, that what the Mishnah says is that what the Gemara is saying is only write the place where the get was written. This entire story where you were instructed and where you're written is all unimportant. Just write, Sofer should just write where the ket was written. Tosfos explains what's the point. So Tosfos points that Shili and Hini were right next to each other. And since Shili and Hini were right next to each other, so maybe it shouldn't be such a big deal if you wrote the wrong city. Teaches us the Mishnah that it's still wrong and disqualifies the get. Amar Yudam Shmuel, Zu Divrei Ermeya. Everything we learned till now is the opinion of Ermeya. Avachama Oimrim, I feel like Kasa Elashem Santer. He says you don't have to write the name of the government. If you write the name of an appointed authority in the city, Santa Shabir, the Santa usually was the person explained the Rishonim who was in charge of the borders of the city. That is enough that you're showing respect to the country and I raise him a gracious. Says the Gemara, I will get to Dava Kisibe that the get was written L'shem Estanda the Bishakar, according to the name of an assistant of the king from when he became from when he got that position. Sholcharev Nachbar Chizal Kamei de Rava. Kegavnamai. What will be the status of this get? Sholchle Baha Afila Rameya Maide. In this get, Rameyer, who was took a stricter approach and says that if he wrote the snanter, it's not good. Here he'll be lenient. My Tama. Because this person is an assistant to the king. And since he's an assistant to the king, he's connected to the king, so it's as if he wrote the date of that king. Umayshna, says the Gemara, as we just explained, Umayshna Misanta Shabir, that Rameya holds, it's disqualified. Answers the Gemara, Hossam, when you write the Snata, Zindel B'milsa, why are you speaking about him and not about the king? Hocha, but when you speak about the assistance of the king, it's a way of promoting the king. Shvichle milsa, and therefore the get is fine. Arab Abba Amrav Hunam Rav, Zu Divrei Meya. The halacha that our Mishnah says that if the get was written with the wrong date of the country, the wrong country, the get is possible, the opinion of Rameya. Avacham Amrim, that if you didn't write the get that way, Havlat Kasher. Or Maidan Chamla Rameya, but even though we just learned that the Chachamim take this lenient approach, Shimshina Shma Shma, if you wrote his name, the husband's name or the wife's name improperly, Shem Ira Vishem Ira improperly, they too will agree that a Vlad is Mamzer. Omer of Ashi Afanan Namitanina. We learned in the Mishnah as well, that we learned in the Brisa that Shina Shma Vishma, Shem Ira Vishem Ira, Taitse is Mizeh Mizeh, V'chol Dvarim Elibah. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. So says Rav Ashi, Hom Man Ketanila, who is the author of this halacha in our Mishnah? Ilem Rameya, if we're going to say that this halacha follows the opinion of Rameya, so ask the Gemara, L'Ravina L'Sananu, why did the Mishnah separate all of these halachas? The Mishnah should have given us all of the examples that disqualify the get, and all of the repercussions of that disqualification, because that is the opinion of Rameya. Lervin of Lasnanu should have all been mentioned together. Why was it separated? Shmamina, to teach us that the first halacha of the Mishnah is only according to Rameya, and since it's only according to Rameya, it's mentioned separately. The second halacha is not only the opinion of Rameya, it's also the opinion of the Rabbanan. Says the Mishnah, Kol Arayish Amru, when we speak about Arayis, that the Tzurseim are Mataris. But what happened that if the wife, based on being a Tzaras Erva, did not have Yibum, and turns out that the wife was an islandess, and therefore she was never really married, the halacha is Taitzim Ezem Ezem. Says the Gemara, Nisu In. This halacha only applies that if they got married, Zinu, but let's say a woman who was supposed to have Yibum had an immoral relationship, an adulterous relationship with somebody else, loy, it doesn't make her prohibited to the Yavam. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Leim Tavitiyuf to Rav Nuna, is the halacha that we just said not a question on what Rav Nuna taught us? Rav Nuna, Shemeres Yavam, Shazinsa, if she had an immoral relationship, Esruli Yavam, she becomes also to the Yavam. Says the Gemara, loy, don't learn the Mishnah that way. Nisu v'hu adin lezinu. That the halacha is that if she got married to somebody she shouldn't have, or if she had a relationship, both cases, she can never have Yibum. And points out the Gemara, so why did the Mishnah only speak about Nisu? That if they married somebody that they shouldn't have, instead of having Yibum, they become prohibited to the Yavam? Says the Mishnah, the reason the Mishnah, says the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah chose to speak about that case, Lishnam Al Yanokit, would rather speak about a woman getting married than having an improper relationship. Ikad Amrim, but there's a different version of this discussion. Nisu, that if this woman, instead of marrying the Yavam, married someone else, and then discovered that she should have had Yibum, the halach is she can't have Yibum anymore. The Huadin, if she had an immoral relationship. And says the Gemara, Leimim Sayle Rav Hamnuna, according to that understanding, our Mishnah actually supports Rav Hamnuna's psak. The Rav Hamnuna, Shemeres Yavam Shazin, Sasur Liyavam. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not a raya. Because our Mishnah, we could say, is Nisu Dafka. Only if this woman married someone whom she should not have married, does this halacha place? Because if we have to be concerned, because we have to be concerned that what happens if somebody's husband goes overseas and she gets a report that her husband died, and then the Gemara discusses this often, she gets married based on that testimony, and then her husband shows up, the halacha is teitzei that she can't go back to her husband because we want to make sure that she doesn't get remarried unless she really deserves to get remarried. And we're also concerned that if we let her go back to first husband, people are going to think that a husband is allowed to take back his wife even after she got married. And that's why a Shemeres Yavam Shenasa, if she got married, we take a stricter approach. But that doesn't apply if she is Mizana, that entire concern doesn't apply. So we learned the Mishnah Karetz Yivamta. So somebody married his Yivama, the first wife, and based on that, the Tzara married someone else. And then it turns out that the first wife was an islandess, so she can't remain with the second husband. So it's the same concept that we just discussed. And the Gemara's question is, why does the Mishnah have to give us two different examples? The Yashmin Rahach Kamaisa, in the first case, the islandess, who we did not know was an islandess, didn't have Yibum or Chalitza, and neither did a Tzara. So maybe that's why we're strict. There was no Yibum. Avloch in the second case, where the Yavim did Yibum with the islandess. So we maybe consider that an act of Yibum. Aval Hocho, Ikayim Mitzvah Yibum, and therefore we could be less strict. Emeloi. We only talk about the second case. She was always supposed to have, the Tzara was always supposed to have Yibum, because she wasn't a Tzara's Erva. Aval Hossam, in the first case, she was a Tzara's Erva at the time of Yibum. And therefore, Emeloi, maybe you shouldn't be so strict. That's why Tzrich, we had both cases. We learned in the Mishnah Kos of Sefer Torah, if a tzayfim wrote the get and made a mistake, Rabbi Lazar says, if it happened immediately, yotza. Says the Gemara, what is the definition of la'alta? What is the definition of immediately? Heichidami la'alta, heichidami lachazman. That Rabbi Lazar is differentiating between la'alta and lachazman. Says the Gemara, Amri Yudam Shmuel, Kozman, sheyoshev oiskim b'sinyan, while they're still in session, that is called la'alta. Amdu, if they finished the session of the get giving, that's already lachazman. Radbar hava loynesis, if she didn't get married to a second husband yet, so that's called la'alter, because it's correctable. Nisis, but if she got married to somebody else, and now it becomes a big deal, if we're going to say that the get that was given wasn't given properly, that's called lachazman. Tanan, says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, why is Rabbi Lezer take his position? We don't want her to have to leave the second husband. And we have to be concerned that we learned that maybe the first husband and the wife made some sort of a conspiracy. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Lur of Adabar Hava, according to Bahava that says we're worried before they got married or after they got married. Hani Tanishani, as long as she didn't get remarried, there's no concern about the conspiracy. Once she got remarried, there's the concern of the conspiracy. Ilishmul, that it depends if they're still involved in the get or not involved in the get. What is the sheni? What is the Mishnah to speaking about that you're losing out, the second husband loses out? There is no second husband yet. They just got divorced. They're just not sitting there. Says the Gemara, you're right. According to Shmuel, there is no second husband. They just finished getting divorced. What the Mishnah means to say is that once we established that the get was a good get, and now we're going to say that the get is not a good get, so the potential second husband loses out. The fact that the potential second husband loses out, says Shmuel, is already enough of a reason, according to Rabbi Lozer, that we should not allow this disqualification to stand, and we don't assume that anything improper happened.